You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I spent my last dollar getting here. One-way ticket, and you're talking to me about healing through belief.
You're a man looking at the world through a keyhole, and you've spent your whole life trying to widen that keyhole, to see more, to know more. And now, on hearing that it can be widened in ways you can't imagine, you reject the possibility.
No, I reject it because I do not believe in fairy tales about chakras or energy or the power of belief. There is no such thing as spirit. We are made of matter and nothing more. You're just another tiny, momentary speck within an indifferent universe.
You think too little of yourself.
Oh, you think you see through me, do you? Well, you don't. But I see through you! What did you just do to me?
I pushed your astral form out of your physical form.
What's in that tea? Psilocybin? LSD?
It's just tea. With a little honey.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
What is up, guys? It is a bonus episode time of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How you doing? Thanks for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. With me, as always, is Drewster Cogburn.
What up, bro?
How you doing, dude?
You ready to get strange?
Let's get strange.
Pun intended.
Let's get strange with it, dude. We saw a Doctor Strange. This is the Doctor Strange spoiler bonus episode. So, beware of spoilers.
Beware.
Because we're about to spoil all the deets.
I'll tell you where to be.
You don't want to tell me to be where?
You tell me to be where. I tell you where to be.
So if you haven't seen the movie, thank you for downloading. Pause it. Save it.
Go see the movie.
Go see the movie.
No, seriously, guys. Go see the movie.
We recommend going to see it in the 3Ds.
It's, wow.
And then come back and listen.
That third dimension, man.
Third dimension. They made great use of that third dimension. Of that stereoscopic third dimensional viewing.
They really did.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. Let's talk about Doctor Strange. Starting from the very beginning. First off, we saw that trailer for The Great Wall in 3D. Which holy how.
Seriously, Chris?
A benefit of seeing a 3D movie, see 3D trailers.
Here's the thing. I kind of wish they had saved that trailer for after the movie.
Because you kept thinking about it.
Because watching that trailer in 3D, I mean, don't get me wrong, Doctor Strange was probably one of the better movies to come out this year.
Sure.
I mean, this totally should have been Marvel's summer blockbuster.
But instead you were thinking about the trailer for The Great Wall?
But the entire time, I was just like, that fucking Great Wall trailer. God, Jesus, fuck shit. God,
And it's a 3D specific one because they showed off a lot of shots that were meant to be seen.
It was...
The same thing with...
Oh my God, Chris.
I saw that Pirates of the Caribbean teaser online a bunch of times.
Yeah, me too.
And what was the other teaser they showed? Guardians of the Galaxy. I've seen both of those online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they both look cool or whatever. But then
seeing them in big screen.
In 3D, there are certain things like the effect of the underwater pirates.
And the layers of them as well. Like, they really play well with that.
Like, I remember watching it on the computer and being like, that's
not interesting.
Like, that's a weird looking effect. Yeah. Like, that doesn't play too, that doesn't seem right anyway. I guess they're underwater. It looks weird. But then seeing it in theater in 3D, it's like, the hair is
they're underwater. I get it.
The camera angles, it's so weird. So,
it makes sense.
3D trailers.
Yeah, man. That's cool. Great Wall trailer. Fucking, oh, man.
Crazy trailer.
Seriously, Chris, it's been a long time since I've been this excited about a movie.
And it's a Zhang Yimou film. They just put Hero back on Netflix instant.
Oh, people, if you haven't seen Hero,
With Jet Li.
Subtitles, crazy. you know, long, drawn-out story about...
Yeah, not that long or drawn-out. I mean, it's maybe a two-hour movie. It's a Rashomon-type story about... It's about a couple of lovers who are assassins and telling different versions of stories.
Exactly.
And each version of the story is punctuated by a different color scheme. And you can see that crazy production design in the creative
trailer. Oh, man. God, I cannot wait for this fucking... But that's not here nor there, Chris.
It's good. So Doctor Strange...
We're here to talk about Doctor Strange.
Then Doctor Strange started, and the first scene is that action scene where the Ancient One fights... Cassilius,
yes,
that's his name, mm-hmm. and his henchmen, which includes Brett Affleck.
Exactly. So it's like movie starts, dude gets strung up and gets his head cut off.
Oh yeah, that was crazy. He's a librarian apparently. Yeah. That was nuts.
He takes out the page and then boom! It's like, by the way, this is the kind of fight scene that you're in for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
It's a good introduction to the way that these wizards. Fight.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
They're, you know...
Like, they're establishing what you can expect.
Exactly.
Like, she made the city was, like, rolling on itself, well, like a crusher.
It was up and then rolling in on itself, and everything was moving.
And it was, like, crushing people underneath. Yeah, things were moving all crazy, and they were
crushing people underneath. Well, that, and also, like, she was also playing with the effect of gravity, and which way it was up and down for these guys.
Perspective.
For her... You know, she's in one spot every, you know, this is up, this is down, this is left, this is right. Yeah. But for them, it's completely different. Like, she opened up a window that this guy was running towards her on what would be, for us, the wall.
And then she
but for them,
it.
For the person running, it was the floor. Yeah. So, boom, you know, open up a window, falls through.
It was crazy.
But you're watching it and it falls sideways.
And then they're like, oh, and then it's like falling, oh.
I mean, it's very,
trippy, very weird, very M.C. Escher.
Trippy, weird M.C. Escher, but also very much influenced by Inception.
Absolutely, sure. The fighting in a rotating room type of thing.
The way that, well, you know, Chris Nolan kind of set the standard for that when he made that scene.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and like, this is the way that it's going to work in movies.
And they did it on a bigger level.
Exactly. So they just took that, expanded it, but still, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But it's still based on that one fucking scene.
And that's how the movie started. Doctor Strange didn't even end that scene.
No, exactly. That's just the Ancient One. That's just Tilda Swinton whooping ass.
She was great. She was great in the movie.
Dude, I love Tilda Swinton.
And then we finally meet Doctor Strange. He's just like a surgeon.
He's not just a surgeon, an arrogant asshole surgeon. He's an
arrogant asshole. I feel like he could have been more of a dick.
Okay,
he wasn't that much of a dick.
Just imagine Tony Stark minus an alcohol problem and instead of being super rich genius inventor, he's just really good surgeon.
Brilliant surgeon.
With, as he points out, a photographic memory.
Photographic memory. That's how he learns things so fast.
Which helps.
Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. I thought good casting.
Definitely. 100%. Yep. His English is a little... sometimes.
It's that flat Hugh Laurie House type of thing. Exactly. A lot of English actors
went
for non-regional.
But in all reality, forgivable. 100%.
Yeah, it's fine. It was fine.
So, I mean, in all reality...
In all realities, even the fake ones.
Even in all the realities and multiverses, I believe the only thing I didn't like about this movie was, I guess, Doctor Strange's comedy.
You know, like the jokery?
He
was a jokey dude.
He was kind of a joke. Some of it worked. A lot of it didn't.
Pretty quippy.
But it was weird the way they did it, because in a lot of the scenes, especially when it's him telling the jokes to homeboy in the library.
Wong
in the library.
Wong in the library with the magic.
Exactly. When he's talking to him and he's telling all these jokes, the shots were really weird because it was only Benedict Cumberbatch's head. And he's sitting there talking, going, and he tells this awful joke, and then it goes back to Wong, who's in full frame, table in front of him, like things, and then it's back to just Benedict Cumberbatch's head.
Yeah, as opposed to an over the shoulder,
or even
put the camera in between him,
maybe even a pan back, or even just give me a full body shot, even, but just his head was really weird, especially on the very large 3D screen,
big close up.
Yeah.
Like, all right, sure.
Boom.
Sure.
There they come back to stand.
A little off-putting for you. For comedy of emphasis.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that started in the beginning of the movie, and it went through the whole thing.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of attempts to keep the movie comedic throughout, especially as they start, you know, going down some darker roads and talking about...
Not only darker roads, but I mean, deeper roads.
Yeah, deeper
as well.
Existential crisis type of stuff.
Some people are going to be really weirded out about that.
I am. What are they going to do? I mean, first, Doctor Strange, it takes him like 20 minutes to introduce the character. He's a jerk.
Set him up.
Michael Stuhlbarg's in there, is like, hey, it's Michael Stuhlbarg. Rachel McAdams is cool.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, yes, he was an asshole who was driving too fast and crashed his car.
But did himself in.
But here's the thing:
destroyed his hands in slow motion in the dashboard.
He's one of the few people in movies who drives a Lamborghini the way a Lamborghini is supposed to be driven.
You mean super fast?
Because in all reality,
on the edge of danger.
In all reality, that's what the Lamborghini was designed for.
For dangerous driving.
Yes.
Sure. Well, so, he did it, and he paid the cost.
Yeah, he did.
And then Scott Derrickson's horror film background, I feel, comes into play when his hands slow motion into the, and it's not graphic.
No, but it's enough to be like,
that would destroy someone's hands.
Yeah. Well, and then all afterwards, they do a lot of close-ups of his hands
with the pins in him and stuff, and the scarring.
Even afterwards, he's got all those scars, and they always do close-up with the hands because, you know, the hands are very important.
Because he's a surgeon.
You know, and
he has nerve damage. And he can't keep his hands straight.
Exactly. They're always shaking, so you always see them.
And they spend like another good 10, 15 minutes on that, on his, my hands, I want to be a surgeon, and trying to find all these things, and none of the experiments are working. To the point where he finally gives up.
And I'm pushing everybody else away because they don't understand how badly I want to be a surgeon.
Yeah, long, long story short, he finally makes his way to Nepal after getting a tip.
Yeah.
From a Puerto Rican gentleman.
Yes.
I guess he's sort of a sorcerer.
Well, we find out he is, although he only uses his magic for one thing.
For one thing, just to walk around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fucking Benjamin Pratt.
Nice to see him not
playing. What's his name?
Benjamin Pratt.
Benjamin Pratt?
Pratt.
I keep...
Pratt. Benjamin Pratt. Benjamin Pratt. Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Benjamin Pratt.
I don't know why.
With two T's.
That one time it messed me up. Everybody... Huh? Every time.
It was just nice to see him not playing a drug dealer for once.
Who knows, man? He could have been slinging on the side. He's a Puerto Rican in New York.
That's true. He did look extra swarthy. So he goes into Paul and he finally meets, he's asking around, like doing this password. Chuyatel finds him, brings him to the Ancient One.
Forget everything you think you know.
Forget everything you think you know. And
he meets the Ancient One.
First,
he thinks it's the old Chinese man,
which is funny.
Well, of course,
playing on all sorts of stereotypes. Uh-huh. You know, the Fu Manchu fella.
Yeah,
and also expect the man to be the one in charge, not the woman, etc., etc. It's a white woman. It's a Celtic age. Yeah, that was a conscious decision, obviously. All right, this is what you're talking about. The audience. What are the people going to think? This is when they get that first hint, and it's like,
pow, it is a punch in the face.
It is
like it's like, you don't believe, all right, first here's your astral body and your regular body.
Yeah, you the whole what you see in the trailer.
Well, no, and then punching
his soul out of his body.
I like the way that they do that because it, once again, it, while preparing Doctor Strange, you know, and the character, since
also
us,
prepares
the audience is going along that path with him.
The idea of the other realm and mm-hmm. the astral realm and the spirit leaving body. Because he was like at one point, like, I don't even believe in the spirit.
He's like science. He's like, there is no soul.
Yeah, he was like, there's no spirits. That's ridiculous. And she was like, well, let me show you your spirit. And he's like, oh, shit, that's my spirit. And you see that in the trailer.
Yeah.
And then
you don't see.
And then you also see in the trailer when she like touches his head and throws him, and he seems to go into like a hole.
Yeah, but that
and
is.
And then it cuts. In the trailer, it cuts away.
That is the first second of him going through the wormhole.
For
Chris.
like 3 or 4 minutes, it felt like.
Yeah.
For a good while.
Dude, the visual. I have not seen visuals like that since I ate hallucinogens.
There you go. That's the type of.
No, here's the thing. It
That's and exactly what you can expect, people.
No, seriously.
Like,
if,
for real.
Coming from somebody who has done a lot of hallucinogens, if you watch it, if you haven't done hallucinogens, watch Doctor Strange. That scene where everything kind of flows into itself and it's all very geometric. You got the hexagons, the Fibonacci sequences.
The kaleidoscope type of stuff. The flowering and the growing.
Exactly.
And
but it's all...
expanding and changing and the color changing.
But it's all very...
shifting.
But it's all very precise and...
It's undulating.
And geometric and mathematical. And that's where all this stuff... For some reason...
Because you're seeing the code.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it is... dude, it is fucking spot on.
At one point, when Tilda Swinton, when the Ancient One's explaining the whole chakras and energy to Doctor Strange all in the beginning, she's like, think of it as a program, as a source, yeah, as a code, source exactly. code.
This is the source code.
And I was like, Matrix,
we're in the Matrix. Well, I'll tell you what, the source code for the Matrix is really pretty, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Goes straight, it's like minutes long. The 3D super enhances the whole journey and the depth of
the depth of him going through. Into the hole and everything that fucking depth. Amazing.
And then like you see him super tiny and he's like passing through a huge landscape of like all these
and then
just like bubble things.
And then he's really big and everything is really small. I mean they do it all.
And then there's that one point where it's like the hands are grabbing him, and then his fingers become hands, and the hands become
they
hands.
They all become
hands. And then the hands grab him, and then his face gets like sucked into his own face. And then all, into his own face exactly. over and over. And then
all the hands turn into his face, and then he falls into the pupil of his eye.
Of his own eye. And he catches onto the edge of it, and it sucks him in. What the fuck?
Dude, that.
And those were like, that's just like 30 seconds of it felt like minutes.
Hallucinogens.
I couldn't believe that. Hallucinogens.
If you ever want to know what it's like to eat hallucinogens, that's it.
And then they expect people to sit there and watch this movie.
Hey, man, expand your mind, bro.
They're like, look at this. It's like that scene in Clockwork Orange where you feel their eyes open.
Exactly.
Like, look at this montage of imagery that's
going
to work on you on a weird subconscious level.
It's like you thought that split second of, that dude going into the space, of Guardians going into the space god. You thought that was trippy?
Yeah.
That is a split second on that 5-minute trip there.
Yeah, exactly. Like what Guardians hints at with all that weirdness, like Doctor Strange just lives there. You know. That's its home address.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Which is why I think, I don't know, I've only seen it once. Definitely want to let it marinate, but it's definitely the top of my list.
I actually...
Maybe my favorite of all the Marvel movies.
Chris,
it's so crazy.
Chris, I actually want to see it in theaters again. Like, this
I'd like to give it another go.
This is the type of movie that really benefits from A, the 3D, and B, the big screen.
Big screen and good sound and all that stuff, for sure. I can definitely recommend that 3D.
And it's so weird because I was never a Doctor Strange comic book guy. So I know nothing. I mean,
which
I know
is part of the fun. They can go ahead and reimagine stuff and do whatever they want, and it's not going to bother me in any way.
I know, like, I know vague characters because I'm a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
It's a universe. I understand.
He pops up here and there.
Exactly, and so do his enemies. So I understand most of it, but still, I mean, when it comes to I mean,
after the movie was announced, and it was under development, I started reading a little bit online just to see what we were dealing with. And they went there with some of that stuff because the villain thing, it's a mix, right? It's a mixed bag with the villain. Here's where I think Doctor Strange kind of falters a bit for me personally, but it's also the same thing that most Marvel movies have, which is the main villain is but it's a twofer where half the main villain I think is great and the other half is not so much, right?
Yeah,
Mads Mikkelsen as Cecilius,
what fantastic!
He's great because he's Mads Mikkelsen,
exactly.
But that character, what's the difference between this character and Ronan the Accuser? And,
well, no, exactly. It's someone who's on the same path who went down the dark side.
Yeah, they're all the same. Loki and the First Avengers and just trying to
Well, I mean,
at least in this one, Cecilius has this thing. Cecilius has this thing with he's trying to save the world. By giving it over to a dark dimension where time doesn't exist. It's people don't have to die or worry about death anymore because death won't even matter.
Yeah.
And so in his way, he is doing the whole bad guy with good intentions, which is probably the best type of villain you can have in a movie.
Well, no, exactly.
But it's still, in the end, he was even visually himself kind of bland. And I don't know, there wasn't much separating him from most other villains.
Well, I mean, they spent...
In the Marvel movies.
I mean, I agree some of the characters were kind of bland in the movie.
Especially his henchmen.
But with the other special effects going on, I'm not sure if I could handle them being all crazy too.
Well, that's the thing. The other half of the main villain coin, while I found him kind of boring, the whole Dormammu bit was off the charts crazy. And then when he confronts him
the giant, weird, placated face thing, which is funny because he actually runs into Dormammu while he's going on his quote-unquote trip, because you see that big evil face that says something, you see the eye, and he goes right through it. So he must have been passing just through every dimension in the multiverse.
What's this guy's name? Yeah, exactly. What's this guy's name? Ditko?
What?
Steve Ditko?
Yeah.
The artist, the 70s, a lot of comic stuff.
Yeah, that's what it's based on. I mean, there was... A lot of their stuff. One of his covers was straight up a panel. It was like a scene in that fucking movie.
Here's a couple. Like this whole... The way with the balls, with the tendrils.
No, exactly. All that stuff. That was straight up in the movie.
And then also here's... I saw this today. I was like, oh, that's kind of Dormammu. Because it looks like it's talking to a giant face. A giant head sort of. But
something like that,
that's way more mechanical looking. Mm-hmm. Dormammu in the movie is way more... looks like a face, but a crazy face. Where, like, it's always pulsing.
It's all just energy pulses. And that's how you see it.
So fucking weird.
It's cool. It's so cool.
But that's sort of the end, right? First, they show him... Oh, like here, like, oh, energy. Speaking of energy pulsing, here's the blacklight version that Scott Derrickson, the director, tweeted out forever ago when he first got the job. Yeah.
And that's where they're like, yes, boom.
This is our inspiration. And they did it, which is crazy. So he joins them, he joins up with them, he convinced them, he starts learning. They kind of go through that pretty quickly. I was surprised by how quickly that they just...
Well, no, exactly.
They jump through that part of the story.
They do. They're like, you're starting, and then he's like... I need more advanced books.
Pretty much a montage.
Yeah, exactly. A quick montage, and then what? They're in the room. They're all talking. He's like, "Let me use the Eye of RK to fucking." How did he get the Eye of RK? They got into the room
of a mag. This is called like a Magneto. I don't even know. What it's
I don't
called.
Know. But
the Eye.
He got the Eye.
Because he was just hanging out in the library by himself.
Yeah. Well, no, but they went from the library and he was reading into the book. Into that quote unquote the center room
where it connects to the three sanctums.
Yeah, exactly.
The New York sanctum, the Hong Kong one, and
because they were in there doing whatever.
The third one, San Francisco, LA.
No, New York, Hong Kong, London.
London.
But they got somehow he got the Eye because that they opened the door and it was under attack.
Well, because he was hanging out in there by himself, and he was going through one of the books he wasn't supposed to. And he looked up and he saw the Eye sitting there. He looked down in the book and he saw the diagram of the Eye.
I forgot.
So he's just like, oh, I'm just going to grab the Eye and fuck around with this spell.
Because he uses the Eye because the Eye controls time.
Yes. And he started fucking around with making time go back and forth like a DJ.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't fuck around with natural law. You're supposed to protect the natural law. And that becomes the, you know, that's what Cassilius is doing. He's trying to give the world over. If they shut down the sanctums, then that means a doorway is open for Dormammu to come from the realm where time doesn't exist to then...
They call it the Dark Realm.
The Dark Realm, to then consume Earth in a sort of... Now, obviously, we've talked about this before, the stereotypical energy in the middle of the city, destroying shit. We did see it in an interesting like reverse order, though.
That was fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, actually.
And I have a question about that, too, that we can talk about later. But that's his idea, to give over Earth to Dormammu so it goes into that realm. And that becomes Doctor Strange's his dilemma.
Yes.
In order to protect the natural way, natural law, he has to break natural law with the whole time bending thing and all that stuff. And that's how he gets the Eye and also how he gets the cape. He stumbles across the cape in one of the sanctums during a fight.
Well, exactly, because once he gets the Eye, that pretty much starts off like the last 40-minute action sequence.
Yeah, there's a few breaks in there, but it is like a couple times like patch a few people up, a couple. Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, it's like a lot of action. He has to fight off Cassilius's Thing 1 and Thing 2 and Thing 3.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also has to fight Cassilius, too.
And then he ends up fighting him.
Right in the beginning, because they fight, they kind of mess around, obviously.
And then he throws him through a display with the cape, and the cape
that's how the
chooses
cape,
him.
Yeah, because eventually, at one point in time, he's like,
how do I get a relic?
During the montage, they find relics.
Yeah.
And they introduce relics.
They fight with relics.
And he's like, how do I get a relic? He's like, the relic has to choose you.
Yeah.
He's like, oh.
Oh, and then the cape chooses him.
Yep.
The asymmetrical CG cape. It was a very weird cape.
I kind of liked it.
I mean, it was cool. It was different of all the capes. And, he goes through all that shit. And there's a whole thing where, like, he captures Cassilius and gets some info out of him. But then he gets away because he's distracted.
He has to fight Britflak. in real life.
It's fight for fight.
And then he has to go into, he has to go get himself patched up because he gets stabbed. Remember?
Gets himself patched up by Rachel McAdams. Yep. And that's the whole astral plane thing and brings her into it.
Yeah. And then, but
and then sets up
he has
so
to fight
that...
Brit Fleck on the astral plane. Remember?
Yeah, they had that fight, and he kills him, and then he kills him in the astral plane, which then kills him in the real world. Yeah. And then he's like, "Oh, I've taken a life. I'm a surgeon. I've dumped the doctor, and I've taken a life. I can't." So he wrestles with the fact that he can't be a sorcerer because he's like, "I can't fight this. I can't. I'm not here to do this battle." But we all know, watching the movie,
yeah, we know what's happening.
You know, you're going to be you're the sorcerer supreme. That's the point.
Well,
of the movie.
He will be.
Yeah, you will.
That's going to be Doctor Strange too. Doctor Strange, sorcerer supreme.
Yeah, probably the bestowing of finally taking of that mantle.
He's got to have he has to, because he is fucking Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme.
He is the master of New York Sanctum.
No, he is.
Like, he was anointed that before the Ancient One died. So the Ancient One dies.
Yes.
It's revealed that she's tapping into the magic realm.
Yeah,
well,
she's tapping into she's basically, she hooked up with Dormammu way back in the day.
Yeah.
And realized, oh, this is not what we should do, but kept using the power to stay alive.
To stay alive.
And to teach other people as well. Yeah. I mean, it's not like she used the power for bad.
So very complicated.
Yeah.
And she even used the power at one point to fight off Cassilius and the others to save Strange and Mordo.
Yeah.
But then she gets like stabbed or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they rush her to the hospital, her physical body to the hospital. And I love that part where Strange goes into the astral plane
real quick. That whole scene where they're just outside watching the fucking rain come down and the lightning crash in slow motion, and there's that helicopter that's slowly going by,
and the traffic,
and it's
the
just like, holy crap.
Yeah, she's slowing down the moment because it's her last moment. She knows she's gonna die.
It looks really awesome.
It looks crazy. I was like, this is an insane moment. Yeah. And she's like contemplating life and death and all this stuff. I'm like, this is the Marvel movie. What's going on?
Yeah.
It touches on all those themes. And like, at one point, the sentiments of being like infinitesimal specks of nothingness on the grand plane of existence and all that stuff. Like, it's all in this movie.
Or are you?
Or are we? Or how does it all work? So she dies, and then they have to stop Dormammu, which means they go to Hong Kong, where the attack has already happened and shit's already fucked up, right?
So he uses the eye. He
uses the eye to turn back time. And as things are being fixed, like the spell takes and everything's going backwards. The Cassilius and the things, one and two, whoever, are still there.
They start going backwards too, but only for a little while.
It looks like they do a spell or something to reverse themselves.
But it's funny, eventually they do that Matrix thing where they turn into something and then they go.
Yeah, and then they spin around and then they're able to, like, now they're going backwards, but just like Doctor Strange and Mordo, so they're going forward in time.
Well,
everything around them is going backwards.
Well, no,
in time.
Exactly. They're basically neutral in time.
And then they're having a fight.
Yeah.
And then as they're fighting,
but it's funny, other people like come back to life, and Doctor Strange stops it for them. Like, all right, you're alive. Have fun.
but here's the thing, right? So here's what I'm thinking is happening. As they're fighting, and everything's being fixed around them, all that destruction and shit was actually caused by them fighting. You know, it's like a timeline thing. Like, no matter what, the fight was going to happen. It just, in our reality, it happened and, like, they fought backwards and shit was just being destroyed. But then in, like, the Doctor Strange realm, whatever, where it was actually happening, they were fighting normally, like, swinging each other around. Yeah. And then, like, she would swing, someone would get swung into a building, and then the building would assemble
around them.
Come back.
Or my favorite is the random rocks that were coming back into the building. Like, one of the fighters was like about to do something and got smacked in the face by one of them, and I was like, oh
yeah, that's funny, because things are just being assembled.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a crazy scene.
It was a lot of fun.
But then it was like, Strange had to be like, no, I have to go to Dormammu.
Well, because they're like,
I have to go directly to him to stop this shit.
Well, not exactly. Too late. I can't stop. He was thinking to himself, he's like, I can control time, the place without time. He's like, ooh, I got one for you, buddy. And he basically just annoyed Dormammu into submission.
That's all he did.
Yeah.
All he did was bug him. It was like, why are you touching yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Why are you killing me? Why are you killing me? Why are you killing me?
And fucking Dormammu, he's all like,
he doesn't understand time. He doesn't get it.
Dormammu's like, stop it. Leave me alone. That is so annoying. I want to be left alone. And you're like, Dormammu, man. Yeah, because he doesn't understand time.
He doesn't understand time. He doesn't get it. So he's basically
the idea of being stuck in something forever. Well, no. He's like, I can't. I don't.
Yeah, no, exactly. He basically Doctor Strange makes a little infinite loop real quick.
Yeah,
brings time to him. So he shows up, does the infinite loop. So every time he goes, he's like, I want a bargain. Dormammu kills him, but he comes right back.
He's like, I'm here to bargain. Yep. Kills him. Dormammu. And then there's that montage where he's like, Dormammu.
Yeah, exactly.
Dormammu. Dormammu.
And you see Doctor Strange die like a billion times.
All different crazy ways.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah. Dormammu. And then the whole thing is weird and purple.
It reminded me of...
Dormammu's head is huge.
What was the Tom Cruise movie?
Oblivion. Vanilla Sky.
Oblivion, where Tom Cruise dies a lot.
Yes. No, Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Edge of Tomorrow. That's one where he dies a lot.
Yes, it's just like that.
Yeah, that monster just keeps dying.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is
same thing.
Like, so funny. And then he annoys him.
Yeah. He annoys him into submission.
So we're going to do this forever unless you leave
us. Yeah. Well, take your guys and leave us alone.
Yeah, take your homies with you. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back to Earth. And he's like, me and Dormammu struck a deal. And then they just like disintegrate. And he's like, sweet, that worked.
Exactly.
The end. It's like, he did just annoy him into submission.
Uh huh. So it was hilarious.
So funny. And then at Baron Mordor, he's all like, Mordo, she was so easy for. He has his own little character arc where he's like super rigid and stubborn.
Well, no, exactly. For him, it's black and white.
Yeah, it's black and white.
There's no gray.
So when he finds out that the Ancient One was tapping into the dark.
And finds out
dark energy.
That Strange basically struck a deal with Dormammu.
And let Dormammu live and move on and broke natural law and all that to do it. He's like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And he's breaking off. There's that end of the credits scene that we didn't see, but I looked it up online. And it's, I don't know exactly, I forgot exactly what it is you can find online, like the description of it. But it's Mordo showing up somewhere, I think to another sorcerer or whatever. And like taking something he needs and being like, the world needs less sorcerers and like killing that dude. So he's
so be, like, choose the bad guy in the next one.
Should be the main bad guy in the next one. See who he teams up with. That'll be fun. And but then we saw the mid-credit scene, where it's like first they show a little bit, like here's some credits, and then it's Thor
chilling with an endless mug of mead.
With the endless mug, at first he's like, this tea sucks, and it's like it looks like either beer or mead.
Well, but no,
he
drinks exactly.
and then
he watches it and he refills it. And he looks like he's like, you are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sophia's like, this is pretty good. And yeah, and it's setting up Thor Ragnarok because he's there in his human clothes and Earth clothes.
And
and Doctor Strange is like, I have to keep an eye on the crazy realm, and Loki is one of the craziest in the crazy realm, and you brought him here, so what the fuck? He said, well, we're looking for Odin. It's like, all right, I'll fucking help you find him.
I'll help you find him, and then you guys get the fuck out.
You can find online, there's pictures of Hiddleston and Hemsworth as Thor and Loki, but in Earth clothes.
Yeah.
Sitting outside New York, what's dressed to look like a New York newsstand, New York City newsstand. And there's another picture out there of Anthony Hopkins as Odin, but dressed to look like a homeless individual, a living impaired, a living Dumbledore challenge individual.
Mm-hmm. With one eye.
Poor bastard. So Odin's homeless in New York, and they're looking for him.
Hey, man, if you
see Doctor Strange is going to help him.
If you see a one-eyed homeless guy, it might be Odin.
Crazy movie, I thought. Very enjoyable.
And I mean, in all reality, you keep saying it, Chris, because, you know, Thor Ragnarok keeps getting crazier and crazier, but I'm excited for a Thor movie.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Yeah, Taika Waititi, that's going to be nuts. All the shit they established here, and then, and then the whole thing with the... They're taking Planet Hulk storyline stuff and the gladiatorial arena
and now Doctor Strange is in it, so there's different dimensions.
Doctor Strange is
I mean,
like,
Thor's in it, so there's already different dimensions, you know, technically.
Yeah, but now it's more like even the first Thor movie, they're like, what do you call magic? We call science, you know. But in this one, they're just like, this is magic.
This is fucking magic. He's like, we actually
spiritual realm magic.
Spiritual realm, and we take energy from other dimensions, and we call that magic.
Yeah,
we steal energy from other places.
They explain it specifically. Yeah, we're tapping
into energy from other dimensions, using it here, thus creating magic.
So crazy, a lot of fun.
Even the magic, so. Pretty and geometric. I love all that fucking trippy geometric nonsense.
It was very geometric, and it was cool how they would conjure weapons like shields and blades and whips and stuff like that too. So they were coming up with like practical things, but they were cool. Yeah, wild stuff.
A lot of fun.
good movie. I can recommend it for sure.
100%.
People should see it.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
anything else we're missing?
I mean, seriously, no, I don't think so.
One moment where I was like, that's like something that happened, boom, I was like, that's a fucking horror film director would do that. when the Ancient One, her final scene when they're fighting and then she gets stabbed or whatever, yeah, and she crashes through a window and she goes like from the mirror dimension or whatever they have set up into like just normal real world.
Oh yeah, and there she goes out a window, down like that five, was, 6 stories.
No, down like 100 stories. It was a skyscraper. Okay, skyscraper.
So down like 100 stories, and you know, in any other movie,
it would cut away. It would imply.
No. Here's the thing: in any other movie, except for a horror movie and this movie, like that, the awning would have created enough break in the fall
there
for
something.
Whatever.
There would have been something.
But she goes straight through that thing too, and then on the fucking concrete.
She went through a glass awning, and then just hit the ground. Pow!
Just thud.
If it was an R-rated movie, it would have been like blood spatter. Yeah. But instead, it was PG-13. Just the ground. Boom! And there's people all over there, and they're like,
"Dude, seriously!" And that thud, like
you feel it. You feel it. It hit hard.
Yeah.
It's like the fist into the dashboard.
Exactly.
It's like these little moments, even though they're PG-13 and not like gory.
Yeah.
They still hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what happens when you get the guy who did fucking Sinister and shit like that to direct
movies. He did a great job.
I'm very surprised. All his movies he's done, this is like by far. I'm surprised he had it in him. It's by far like better than anything he's done. I've liked this stuff enough.
Yeah.
Never thought much of him, but this is like...
Maybe he just needed the right thing. I think so.
He was inspired.
Yeah.
He was inspired, and he's already talking sequel and stuff and ideas that he has, and I'm all for...
That's cool.
I hope he comes back for a second one.
Most definitely.
Totally down for more Doctor Strange. Anything else we're missing? I just want to talk about it. I guess so. All right, well.
Well.
Okay. Cool. Where can people find you online?
At antihero419, all over the internet.
Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo and Crespiso on Twitter and CinemaCrespiso on Facebook and Instagram. And we're out of here.